Greetings. This is Evan Swenson. Welcome to Alaska Outdoors.
Morning fog was just giving way to the sun's burning rays as I walked to the dock's finger to the waiting Floret Sea. Diane Dubuque, the boat's captain, told me over the phone the day before, "Be at the dock at 7:30, ramp 1C, space 10. We'll leave immediately for Feeder Kings." Feeders are not the return to the natal stream monsters like those which run in the Kenai in summer months. Feeders are transients. They may have been born in Russia or Canada and just spend both summer and winter feeding off the shores of Alaska and growing fat and mature for their return to their river of birth, whether it be domestic or foreign. Although they invade the waters of Ketchumek Bay without a passport, they are welcomed by adventure-seeking anglers, and I'm one of them. Saltwater fishing is not my favorite. I'd much rather be fly fishing a small clear water tributary of Fish River for Arctic grayling than dragging a line off the bottom of the ocean. But if I want feeder kings, I must go down to the sea in a ship. That's where the feeders are. In southeast Alaska, they call them shakers. Over in Prince William Sound, they're known as winter kings. In Kamchatka Bay, most folks know them as feeders. By and large, feeders are smaller than spawners. A 35-pound feeder is a big fish, but an occasional 50-pounder may be taken. Most are within the 20-pound class. However, what they lack in size, they make up for in heart. They're fighters to the last flip of the tail. Many feeder king guides will not allow anglers to release their catch simply because the fish has totally exhausted itself in its fight for freedom and hasn't the strength to survive beyond the challenge it gave the angler. Sometimes a small feeder is quickly overpowered by the rod and reel and may be safely released. Most times, the angler is anxious to put his newly caught feeder in the boat's fish box anyway. If you've ever eaten a feeder, you'd know why. They're the best. There's no other fish like them. And so it was that I came to Kamchatka Bay with feeders on my mind. The tide was out and the walk down the approach to the boat ramp was more of a climb down to the boat ramp. At least I knew that when I returned, hopefully carrying a load of fish, the tide would be in and the climb with a heavy load would be easier. No sooner did I round the corner and spot the Floret Sea than the deckhand spotted me and notified Captain Dubuque. She was at the rail welcoming me and giving safety instructions almost before I was fully aboard. My gear wasn't even stored in the cabin before Diane was backing out and heading for the open water. I wondered what the rush was. It was barely 7:30, our scheduled departure time. Later, I learned that Captain Dubuque has a passion for feeders and sitting at the dock gives her symptoms of feeder withdrawal, satisfied only by getting her client's line in the water. Mostly, she's a happy, pleasant lady, but there's a decidedly different aura about her person when she's close to land from when she's at sea with clients. The Floret Sea is a converted commercial salmon troller from southeast Alaska. Amid radar screens, depth finders, compasses, GPS, and other electronic gear is a faded picture of a lady resembling Captain Dubuque. Upon inquiring who the person was, Diane confirmed that the distinguished-looking lady was her mother, Floret, for whom the boat was named. Diane says she likes to have her mother close to her as she plies the ocean in search of fish. In fact, Diane said, "I talked to her this morning, told her I was going out for fish and asked her to pray that we'd catch some." "Can't you do your own praying?" I jested. "Oh, sure," she said, "but Mom seems to be closer to heaven and gets heard better than me. We'll catch fish today. Mom's prayed for us." Captain Dubuque was right. We caught fish, feeders, our limit of feeders, and more, a couple of halibut, and we pulled the boat's crab pots and scored big time. By the time the tide turned and the boat headed back to the Homer small boat harbor, we'd had enough. At least enough for one day. It was a great day. A new experience. A new friend. Several new friends. An experience I've enjoyed many times since, and we've always caught fish. But now the question. Is it the skill and knowledge of Captain Dubuque? The expert way the unusual gear is used? Is it the time of year? Is it just luck? Probably all of the above, but I didn't ask the question I wanted to. What did Captain Diane Dubuque think? Was our good fortune due to her mother's prayers? If it was, I'm wondering if it'll work by all mothers, on all water, by all anglers. Maybe prayers are better than all the gear you can buy. And it's a whole lot cheaper.
When you go outdoors, take a young person with you and teach them by your example what it means to be a sportsman. Behind the wheel or in the boat or on the road or in the lake, take the high trail and practice ethics of fair chase. Goodbye and good luck. May God bless you in the land of the midnight sun, and may your days be happy and long in Alaska's outdoors.